Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show. I'm your host, Nicole Cleveland. I am author of So He Cheated, Now What? And I am also founder of Breathe Again Magazine. I'm so excited. I'm like a virgin. Today is my first day doing Blog Talk Radio. Everyone has told me that I needed to be on Blog Talk Radio, but I was like, no, I'll just do my own thing. But I have decided that why do more when I can just do what's already out there? Why reinvent the wheel? So here I am on Blog Talk Radio. Today my guest is Gazelle Simmons. She is owner of Administrative Services, and she's also author of That Which Does Not Kill Us, Makes Us Stronger. I'm so excited to have her on the line today because she has so much to share with us, And I know she will help so many people out there with her story. I read her book from page one until the end of the book, all in one setting, and I tell you, I could not put it down. It was so intriguing. I laughed. I wanted to cry. I was rooting for her. And then I was also like, well, why did you do that? And you know how we do when we're reading a book, we really get into the characters. But it wasn't characters. It was real life, as so many of us already know. Sometimes our stories, they look like novels, but they are real life. That it's what we do day in and day out. I'd just like to welcome Gazelle to the call today. Welcome, Gazelle.
Thank you, Nicole. Good to be here.
Good. I'm so glad to have you. And like I told you earlier, it's a first for me and you. We're doing the Blog Talk Radio thing together, so we will go down in history, sister.
It's going to be fine. Trust me. I've done this before.
All right. And I just like to thank, welcome the people that are in the chat room as well. We have four people in the chat room. I see Pastor Rebecca in the chat room, and I just like to welcome her. We go way back, and I remember, I think I met you and Pastor Rebecca on another network, and I cannot remember what that network is. Do you remember that, Gazelle?
I think Rise.
It was. Rise. That's what it was. Yeah, it was Rise, and I was trying to think exactly what network was that, and it was Rise. I met you, Pastor Rebecca. I met Regina Baker as well on Rise. But Gazelle, tell the audience and tell the listeners a little bit about who Gazelle is.
Well, that's a very good question, and I frequently ask that of myself all the time. First and foremost, I'm a Christian, and that defines not just who I am, but how I live my life. It's part of what makes me who I am. Second, I'm single again, which goes to show I'm also human, since I've made at least one mistake in this life. Third, I've got an excellent sense of humor, which has carried me through so many times when the urge to give up just rears its ugly head. Fourth, I'm my mother's daughter, my children's mother, a help to my clients, a good friend, and lucky to be able to be a business owner for the last 13 years, all of which has made me fully realize just how blessed I truly am.
Amen.
I'm blessed beyond measure, grateful for all that I call my own, humbled to have a fresh start after Hurricane Katrina, realistic with everyone who comes to me for advice, sensitive to the needs of others, helpful to anyone I can help, encouraging to those who need to know that each day is a new beginning, and as always, I'm looking to see the best in all I meet.
I love it, love it, love it. Let's go right into your book. I really want to talk about that book. It's a powerful, powerful story. And I just want to take this time right now and thank you for being transparent and writing it. So many people would not have wrote it, but I really want to commend you for telling the story and telling it real, telling it raw, telling it like it is. Now tell me, what's your mission? Why did you write the book, Gazelle?
Well, originally, the book was just a journal. It was a way to get all the things from my past out of my system. I never intended to share this, which is probably why it was written so transparently. I mean, there's no reason to hide if no one will see. Then I let a few folks read it, and I mean, including my own daughters, and they kept telling me I had to share it. So I started really, really small, really, really quiet, didn't expect much, and, you know, just every once in a while I would announce it and, you know, see what happens and go from there.
Really? What was your daughter's reactions when they actually read the book?
Well, my oldest never finished it. She got to a sad and put the book down and never picked it back up again. Mm-hmm. And my youngest finished the book, and when she finished the book, she came, she hugged me, and she said, "Now I understand why you are the way you are."
Mm. Wow.
That was best of, you know, any reaction I've ever gotten. That has to be about the best one.
Absolutely. And you've been through so much. Now, in the book, and like when I was sending you over the actual nuggets and the different topics I was going to discuss, I was actually naming the different characters in the book, the names of the people that were in the book, and you emailed me back and you said, I know you read it. And I really got into the book with the actual names and the characters. Tell me about the rejection from your mother. Was it Paulina?
Yes.
Okay, and why you believe she resented you at such a young age, because I believe you didn't even know. I think maybe you were 6 or 7 years old when she started resenting you.
Well, as I was going through, you know, I tell people all the time, my Bible tells me the Lord never gives you more than you can bear. So I know He has a plan, and He had a plan and a reason behind it all. I was actually around 14 when my father revealed to me the reason my mother rejected me. He told me that I was around 18 months old, and she was working as a nurse, pulling 16-hour shifts, which meant I was home with my father almost continuously. And she came home and called me to her, and I wouldn't go. So she said if I wouldn't come to her, then she was through with me. As a young girl, I was stunned hearing this, because I had spent most of my childhood wondering what I'd done wrong and why she didn't love me. And then to find out that reason, I mean, to end the relationship with a toddler for such a silly reason, then to take that reason and use it as a reason to resent me, to be cruel, to be hateful, it was so sad when I finally learned it. And I remember feeling sorry for her. I didn't add that information to the book just because every time I thought about it, it made me cry. It made me so very sad that, you know, especially after I had my own daughters, I mean, I couldn't imagine tossing them aside for something so trivial. And I'd say the root of my mother's resentment was selfishness. It was all about her, and in a lot of ways it still is.
Right. Now, did you ever get a chance to forgive her?
Actually, yes, I did. After Hurricane Katrina, I got in touch with her through my younger sister. I wrote her a letter explaining that I'd forgiven her, and we started talking by phone, and it's a really strange relationship. I mean, I'm related to a stranger. She's still the same person, just older, but I've grown up, I've changed, I've matured. But to say that we're speaking is about the most accurate thing you can say. I mean, we don't have dinners together. We don't celebrate holidays. We don't spend any significant time together. And the one time I tried to help her, I got slammed for doing so. So I've pretty much resigned myself to the fact that the only mother that I've ever had in this earth, Carol Ann is dead, and the person who birthed me is still breathing. Mm-hmm. Right now she's in the hospital, and we speak infrequently, but our relationship is just strange because we truly still don't know each other.
Yeah, yeah. But you forgave her, and you moved past that. And I was going to go right into Carol Ann, because when Carol Ann came into your life, I was so excited for you. And she loved you, and she showed you that mother-daughter relationship. And I know what age I know when she came into your life. How old was she? How old were you?
I was 12. I turned 13 that year.
Yeah, and you finally were able to experience what a mother-daughter relationship felt like.
Oh, yes. It was amazing. I mean, when we first, Carol Ann actually lived in New York City, and mm-hmm. we had lived, and my younger sister had a dream, and she told my father to go back to New York and visit the lady we had tea with. She didn't even know her name, and she said, "Loves you." So I remember thinking it was a wacky thing to do, but we went up there and we just never left, and we just sort of stayed. But I watched her interaction not just with her own children, because she had 8 of her own kids. I also mm-hmm. watched her interaction with her grandchildren, with
yeah.
anyone that came along. I mean, she never met a stranger. She'd feed anyone. She'd invite people to the house she met, you know, walking down the street. She had money and you needed it. It was yours. There was
yeah.
nothing she wouldn't do for people. And,
yeah.
you know, watching her was awe-inspiring.
Yeah. And that brought a lot of joy in your life at that time, but it also brought a lot of heartache as well, because that was at the time that you began being molested by Regis, Carol Ann's son. Did Carol Ann ever find out about the molestation?
No, not that I know of. I mean, I never told her. I mean, I just couldn't tell her that her
mm-hmm.
son was a monster. I mean,
yeah.
how do you say that to someone you love and things remain the same? I mean, in my mind, I guess I loved having a mother more than wanting revenge.
Okay, right, right. And I remember reading in the actual book where you said you knew it would kill her, and she was so sweet that you did not want that to happen to her. And I was just like, you put her needs in front of your needs, and I just felt I felt some kind of way for you, because I was just like, oh, I'm telling you, when I was reading the book, I was in the bed, I was sick, and I read the entire book, and I was just like, oh, God, it was like I was going through it with you. So,
oh, yes, I frequently tell people, get a tissue.
Yes.
Have several. Don't have anywhere you need to be before you pick up the book.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's good, because I want to take a break and tell the actual audience how they can purchase your book, what website to go to, how much it is.
Well, the easiest way to get my book is you can go to my website. I can give it to you. It's https://sites.google.com/site, no S. / Gazelle Simmons. That's GAZELLESIMMONS. Now, if that website seems impossible for you to learn, you can always go to Facebook and look for me. There's a link on my webpage. Or look for the book. The website on Facebook is TWDNK, which stands for That Which Does Not Kill.
Wonderful. And it's also posted on the Blog Talk Radio page for this show. I put the link to the website where they can purchase the book as well.
Thank you. That's
wonderful.
Thing to know.
You're welcome. You're welcome. What I want to do is I want to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, I want to get right into Fletcher and the men in your life. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Did he cheat and you don't know what you're going to do? Are you struggling with rebuilding trust? If not, then you know someone that is. So He Cheated, Now What? By Nicole Cleveland is one woman's personal testimony of overcoming an affair in her marriage, an affair that produced a child. No, it's not about catching a cheating spouse or 6 ways to get him back or 12 ways to find out if he's cheating. It's all about forgiveness and moving past the pain into her purpose. visit SoHeCheated.com or call 757-404-1582.
Okay, okay. Now let's go right back into the questions. Right now I'm talking to Gazelle Simmons. She is the author of That Which Does Not Kill Us Makes Us Stronger. And you are listening to Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show. Let's talk about Fletcher, Gazelle. What was the stronghold with Fletcher?
Well, I would have to say the biggest stronghold was probably sex.
Okay.
Seemed to be so weak with him. I mean, so yielding and submissive. You know, I never had anyone to have such a stronghold on my heart or my mind. I mean, to say I was weak for him is truly an understatement. I mean, I tell people all the time I had it bad for him, and it took me years to realize that he just didn't have it bad for me.
Yeah. And how many years was it? Was it 6 years?
6 years from start to finish, six very long, rough, rocky years. I tell everyone there was a whole lot of things I might have been with him. Bored was never one of them.
Yeah, and as I was reading it, you and every woman that will read this book, I know they will be able to relate to that stronghold, because there's always someone that was in your life, if it was an old boyfriend, if it was a husband, if it was somebody that you know was wrong for you, but you just kept going back and kept going back and kept going back. We've all been there, so I don't want people to get all high and mighty on a cloud like that's never happened, because I've been there. We have all been there. That's why I said I didn't ask the question. I was going to say, was it sex, girl? Was it that good? Because you were just...
In my mind, it was at the time. But again, I was 21 going on 22. I mean, he was the second man I'd ever had sex with. So it's not like there was a long litany of people to complain and to compare him to. But
right.
It was just, you know, the sex. Yes, sex was a part of it. But I enjoyed his company. And that was rare, because usually, you know, most folks, after a little while, you get bored with him, you know. Sports wasn't his favorite topic. He wasn't in love with his car. I didn't have to fight for his attention with his mother. I mean, it wasn't all of those things.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was from previous relationships.
Yeah. But after you found out he was married, because you did not know he was married, and you were pregnant, you were devastated. Why did you continue the relationship and go on to have another child with him, knowing that he was already married?
Well, at first I didn't. When I broke it off as soon as I found out that he was pregnant, and I tried to move on, but he pursued me. And having a child with him made it even more difficult to break free, because this baby was now the perfect excuse. Once I was pregnant again, he wasn't happy about another child. I mean, he actually wanted me to have an abortion, but I refused to do it. And then we broke up yet again. And after my second child was born, there he was, chasing me again. I didn't even own a car throughout any of this relationship, so I didn't come to him. He came to me. He found me. He asked people where I was. He actually followed me home from work on one occasion to find out where I lived at. The fact that I had two children with him really did compound the situation, and being lonely didn't help either. I mean, I had two kids in the space of 18 months. He even went so far as to secure a place for me to live in order to continue our relationship. So now it's a bit hard to say no to the person whose house you're living in. Had I known then what I know now, I would have run from him. But, you know, being in love clouds your judgment. It really does cause you to ignore good advice and to follow down a wrong path, no matter how many people tell you, stop going in that direction.
Right. Now, in life, we all learn lessons. What was the lesson with Fletcher?
I think the biggest lesson with him was that it was okay to let go of the dream. For years, all I wanted was to be loved, and he unfortunately wanted someone to use. So we were definitely a dysfunctional relationship. I mean, great sex didn't make up for being second fiddle, and it took me a while to see that. Having two kids in 18 months didn't help me take the time to think either, because you're sleep deprived. So I tell everyone, for about 3 years I was sleep deprived, right smack dab in the riddle of this 6-year relationship.
Now, is he still active in the girls' lives?
Fletcher has not been in the girls' lives since they were 5 and 4, and they're now 20 and 19.
Wow.
Wasn't a relationship between he and I. There wasn't one between him and them.
I was just about to say that, too.
Yeah, they were as expendable as I was, and that was truly unfortunate.
Yeah, it was. Now, I know women that are going through this right now. I talk to them. What would you tell a woman that's listening right now that's caught up in this web of lies with a married man? They may want to get out, but like you, they don't know how. What do you tell them? How do you encourage them? They feel as they don't want to be lonely. They may be being taken care of by the married man, but they really don't want to be in it. How do they get out, Gazelle?
Well, I tell everyone, I didn't get out of our relationship. Fletcher actually freed me from our 6-year relationship by something he said out of his own mouth. He told me I needed to look out for me and mine. And in those words came the slap in the face I truly needed. I mean, he wasn't mine. No amount of playing house with him was going to make him mine. I mean, even after his wife found out about me and the girls, I gave him a choice, and he chose her. And looking back, he'd always chosen her. I mean, every time he said he had to go, every morning I woke up alone, every holiday and special occasion spent without him, he had told me I wasn't what he wanted. It just took me a long time to see that, a very long time. And what I tell women in this kind of relationship is, ask yourself this, will second best be enough? Can you live with always being second? Do you really want to settle for less than being number one? I mean, those are the questions. They hurt to ask, but they help to free you, and they help you to see where you really are in your circumstances.
Right, right. That's good advice, Gazelle. It is good advice. And you have some people in the chat room, and they are buzzing, and they are excited and are being inspired and encouraged by all of your words. So thank you so much for being here today and sharing your story, because so many people need to hear it. You never really had a chance to heal from Fletcher. Now talk to me about that whole transition after you left Fletcher.
Well, after Fletcher, I went, got involved with a guy. I mean, his name was Steven, and I was on the rebound. I mean, I wanted, after being rejected by Fletcher, to be first in someone's life. Anyone's life. I mean, I took the first offer I got, not thinking that maybe it wasn't the right offer. It was about 6 months after we got married that I knew I'd made a mistake, and another 6 months before I decided to leave. And yet another 6 months before I actually made it out the door. I mean, looking back, I see what I must have reeked of insecurity, of weakness and desperation. Predators can smell it on you. I mean, Stephen was abusive, he was an alcoholic, and he needed a person weak in spirit. Truth be told, I was broken after Fletcher, and for a while it was working until I started to heal.
Yeah.
And then when I got whole again, I started to object to his treatment of me, and that's how I knew it had to end. I mean, the worst part was Stephen was just like Kevin, and I think that's the part that scared me most of all. I'd always said I would marry, I would never marry a man like my father.
Right, right, right. And when Stephen came into the play, I was in the bed and I was like, girl, you don't love him.
No, not at all. I tell everyone, I didn't marry him because I loved him. I married him because I wanted to be wanted. It truly didn't have with him at all. There was nothing he could have done to make me love him.
Yeah, and you said something right there. You said you wanted to be loved, you know, and that's it. You wanted to be loved, and they smelt it, and you tried so hard for someone to love you, and it was kind of forced because then it was the whole play with the kids and the other family and everything. But I want you to really go, and we have 5 minutes. I want you to tell me how Hurricane Katrina saved your life.
Well, for me, it put a period at the end of goodbye for me. I mean, my time in Mississippi was punctuated with pain and sorrow, with suffering, despair, depression, and even grief. I mean, I spent my time there trying to salvage a dead marriage. And like anyone grieving, I went from denial to despair to anger and on to depression. I mean, it wasn't a good time for me, and leaving due to Hurricane Katrina helped me move forward because there was no backwards to go to. There's nothing like losing everything to truly give you perspective, not just on your life, but what's important. I mean, it made me realize that I was here on this earth for more than pain and heartache. I mean, I had a scripture literally jump off the page of the Bible for me. It was Psalms 30:11. It says, "You have turned from me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." And that's what happened after Hurricane Katrina. I mean, there was a time of realizing that even with nothing, I could still have joy and peace and happiness. There could be singing and dancing, and my joy wasn't based on my circumstances.
That's right.
It was a
pleasure to
see my circumstances and be joyous anyway. And that is how Hurricane Katrina saved my life.
Yes, and it was all orchestrated by God, because when you left and you went to the hotel, and then when you got your apartment and the insurance adjusters, when they called you back, you would have died in that apartment if you would have stayed there. But it was nobody but God that led you out of there and told you to keep driving and keep going until you got to Georgia. And I was so happy for you when you arrived in Georgia, and I was so happy that you were able to find an apartment the next day, and they told you to move in, and you took everything that you had and furnished the house, and people were giving you groceries and futons. And I say to God be the glory, because only he did that thing. And I'm so proud of you, and I'm so proud of what God has done in your life and how you are helping so many people, Gazelle. I really am.
Well, it was amazing to me. The best part was finding out that Christmas after the hurricane, I was talking with my daughters. You know, we put the tree up, and we was just standing around talking. And my oldest daughter said, "Well, I got an answer. Hurricane Katrina was the answer to my prayers," which I thought was a little odd. I said, "So what did you pray for?" She said, "I prayed not to go to school on my birthday," which was September 1st. I said, "Okay." Well, then Tiffany chimes in and says, "Well, I prayed to leave Mississippi and never have to come back again." Okay, now I'm a little scared, because my prayer was to get out, and never, ever, ever have to come back. So it's, you know, you're standing around having a conversation only to realize that God used a natural disaster to answer not one, not two, but three people's prayers in regards to one place and our circumstances. And then give you reasons. I mean, you go to the door and find food on the door. If that's not a reason to praise God, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I know you're right.
I mean, and then when you tell this to people and they go, "What? Really?" Yeah. I was like, I tell everyone, if you don't know there's a God, stick around. Something's going to come to show it to you.
Yes. And
after
he did that.
I couldn't say anything else. I was just, you know, stunned after that. And, you know, and it got to be a testimony, not just for me, but for the children, because they told other people, you know, "Yeah, we lost all our things, but it's okay." And people were looking at them like, what do you mean it's okay?
You still had that joy. You still had the joy on the inside of you, and that was not taken away from you. But that is our time, and I'd just like to say thank you so much for joining us today, Gazelle. God bless you. And I tell you, the best is yet to come for you, lady. And even with your administrative services, I pray that, you know, business is just sent to you and it's overflowing, because God has just ordained your entire life. I just really believe that. So thank you so much for joining us today.
I appreciate being here.
Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. And thank you so much for joining us, audience, listeners, callers. Follow us on Twitter at Breathe Again and connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/breatheagain. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful day.